For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
Tonight, if you have your Bibles, you would like to read with us the scripture lesson, I invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I want to begin our reading with verse 19 of this wonderful portion of the Word of God. I want to read verse 19, 20, and 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And I want to use for our theme tonight a modern Sodom. A modern Sodom. I do not believe that there's a person in this house that is familiar with the Word of God, but what you remember, over in the very beginning of the Bible, God telling us about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of those other cities in the plain that were so wicked and ungodly. And I believe with all of my heart that God set that city as a pattern of S-I-N. And you remember that he looked into the faces of the people in Capernaum and other cities and said that in the day of judgment, the citizens of Sodom shall rise up in the judgment and shall condemn you because of greater than he that witnessed in Sodom is among you. And I do believe with all of my heart that one day God is going to call the citizens of Sodom to witness against the modern Sodom that we have in this world today. Surely there is not a man or a woman or a boy or girl in this house tonight that knows anything, and you are of ordinary intelligence, but what you know that we are living in such days as none of us have ever lived before.
Right.
There is not a man or a woman or a boy or girl in this house that's ever lived in such conditions and under such conditions as we are living at this present hour. I never knew that I would live until the hour when I would see such as I am seeing in America and around the world.
Right.
There is no place to hide, no place to go today where you're safe. Standing on the street, you can be shot down. Pull up your car to a red light and somebody drive under the side of you and blow your head off. Somebody bump you in the back and you get out to see what the damage is and they murder you and rob you. Open the door and your doorbell rings and somebody blasts you into eternity. We're living in an awful hour, a terrible hour. Today, a man resigned the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And that man is the man that wrote the death sentence for over 30 million little innocent babies.
Right.
I looked at him on television today, and I thought, oh God, I wouldn't be in your shoes for all of the money, all of the power, all of the reputation, all of the honor that this world can bestow upon a man. I wouldn't be in your shoes. I believe that when that man stands before God, all of these little babies, 4,000 of them killed today, and 4,000 of them killed every day in the United States, and 1,500,000 or 400,000 killed every year since he signed that paper that made abortion legal in the United States of America and sent our nation on a toboggan slide down to hell.
Right.
I single day in our land.
Right.
And when I see these murder clinics, and I read about these murder doctors and nursing homes, and all of the people, brother, in our nation that voted for it, I want to tell you the only difference between killing a man that's 85 years old and a little baby, brother, I tell you, that's 9 months old, is 84 years. That's all. And when I stand on this platform to tell you that that is the condition that we find it in Sodom, I firmly believe right here what this Bible says, and it's not hard to understand who God says is going to hell. Listen to it again. The Bible says the adulterer and the fornicator. Notice what the word says. The adulterer and the fornicator and the unclean and the lasciviousness and idolatry and witchcraft. How many of you sitting in this room tonight believe in good luck and bad luck? How many of you believe tonight in a butt eye? How many of you believe tonight in a horseshoe? How many of you believe, brother, I tell it, in a black cat running across the road, and brother, I tell it, when it does, you strike a match, spit over your left shoulder, and roll up your left bitch's leg. I got a cuff, brother, to keep the evil spirits off. I want to ask you, how many of you believe tonight that there is such a thing as bad luck? Oh, I want to tell you, as sure as you believe in witchcraft, you're headed for hell. You cannot believe. You cannot be a witch. If you cannot believe in witchcraft, you cannot believe in it and be saved.
Right.
You know, our radio programs cover almost all of America and many foreign lands, about 120 nations we cover with a radio Bible hour. And in many of those lands, there are many people that are worshipers of witches. I received a letter from a doctor out in Phoenix, Arizona. And he said, on such and such a position of the moon, I forgot now what he said, on the full of the moon, we're going to have a conclave here in Phoenix, and we're going to pray a spell on you. And it's going to happen at 11 o'clock on such and such a night. Well, guess what? At 11 o'clock that night, I was sitting in the home of one of my friends enjoying some of the best oyster stew that I ever ate in my life. I want to tell you, I wrote that doctor. And I said, dear witch doctor, I want you to know you can't put a spell on me. I've already got under a spell, the gospel. And I want to tell you, if you believe in witches, if you, brother, I tell you, believe in riding a broom, and many of our churches, brother, many of our churches, on Halloween, set up a place in their church for, I tell you, for all these witches and all of that stuff. And all I tell you, that is of the devil. And all I tell you, God's hand is stretched out against any church that'll put on that kind of a program.
Amen.
As I look you in the word says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, are the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How many of you believe that statement?
Amen.
Why then, you believe every drunkard is lost?
Right.
A man may backslide and get drunk. A man may backslide and commit adultery. God here, he won't live in it. He won't continue in it.
Amen.
I want to tell you something, my dear friends, as sure as you are a born-again believer, God will whip you until you come back. But those that continually do it are L-O-S-T. And as I look you in the Word of God, I find these four things, and I want to mention tonight very briefly, to prove to you that we're living in a modern Sodom. First of all, I want you to see the conditions. Second, I want to bring out to you the cause of this condition. And then I want to present to you in the third place the curse of being under such a position. And then the fourth thing, the cure for such an hour as this. Many of God's children have given up Many, I tell you, have turned things over to Satan.
Oh my.
But never in my life have I been so determined to sharpen my sword and lift up my banner against every Goliath that lifts his head in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are the conditions that is brought about this condition of Sodom? We find that the impurity, the violence, the wrath, the immorality on every side, the impurity that we find is not a very pleasant task as we undertake to fight this battle. I believe that one of the causes of the condition of our apostasy and of our condition of Sodom is nudity. For the last 40 years, Hollywood has put on a program to make nudity popular. Nudity. Yeah, our magazines are filled with it. Our papers are filled with it. Our TV programs are filled with nudity. I want to tell you, fathers and mothers, as sure as I'm standing on this platform, that many of your children, if they have a TV set in their room, you cannot judge what they're looking at unless you know that that TV set is off. It's amazing what comes right into our living rooms today through TV. And I believe that nudity is one of the reasons that we have so much adultery, so much fornication, and so much immorality, and so many of our young people, brother, I tell you, bringing little babies into this world before they're 19 years old, and more children born out of wedlock that are born in wedlock.
Right.
It was this sin of nudity that brought down one of the greatest men that ever lived upon the face of this earth. When David saw another man's wife coming out of her bath nude, it was then that his heart was filled with lust. And as a result of that, the sword of the Lord never departed from his house. As a result of that, brother, he murdered in cold blood her husband Uriah. And as a result of that, the little baby that was born, as a result of that immoral act, God killed. And the word of God says that David, from that day on, all the rest of his life, mourned the fact that he had been caught in that awful time of adultery. And it was a nude woman that led this mighty man of God astray. Not only do we find nudity, but the moral standards have been lowered.
Amen.
Not many churches today hold to the standard that they once had. Not many of them today, brother, I tell you, will have a code of dress. Would you believe it? There are Baptist churches today where half of the members sit in the choir in shorty shorts. You would not believe it, but I tell you, I go into many churches where the young people come dressed in such nudity as would never have been permitted in a bedroom when I was born. I'm telling you, we have lost our moral standards. We have come to the place where sexual indulgence is always glamorized. Right. We have come to the place when our young people coming to marriage are not virgins. And when we realize that they're going to be caught in that awful net of sin and iniquity, it breaks my heart.
Yes.
And I've had hundreds and hundreds of young people to tell me, Brother Harold, I didn't mean to do it. Brother Harold, I sure didn't mean to lose my virtue. But I got in a situation. I went to a dance. And after the dance, we went out to a beer joint. And I took a beer. Then I smoked a joint of marijuana. And the next thing I knew, I was in the bed with this boy. And I want to tell you something. It brings suicide to multiply thousands of our precious young people today. And you'd be surprised. I mean, you'd be amazed if you just simply knew, brother, I tell you, all of the young people today that have lost their virtue, and they are coming to the marriage altar unclean, and many of them diseased in their body, What a tragedy.
Yes.
When I was hearing the word of God, I find that not only do we have lowered our moral standards, but we in our day have set and come to express our feelings that this is not a sin, or that is not a sin. We used to call it drunkenness and a drunkard. Now we call it alcoholism. Once we called them a harlot or a prostitute, but now we call them a party girl. And once, brother, we said that it was gambling. Now it's just good sport. When I think about all of the casinos, when I think about how that we have lost, brother, our victory over the devil, when I think about how that we have come to the place where we have compromised someone where nothing seems to be wrong anymore, I'm reminded of that wonderful moment when we see here in the Word of God where a king demanded that his wife come in and dance before his lords nude, and she refused. And Vashti lost her crown, but kept her character.
Yeah.
We see Joseph tempted. A woman, brother, I tell you, that so tempted him every day when he came to do the business of his master. And the Bible says from day to day she tempted him. But one day when there was nobody in that wonderful mansion, she grabbed hold of his coat and tried to rape this young Jew. And Joseph left his coat, but walked out of that room with his character. So we find that all of the devil today is looking as never before for the victims that he can overcome.
Right.
So we see the conditions that have brought about this state of sodomy in our nation. Then what is the cause of this Sodom condition? I believe, first of all, and I want to name five reasons. I believe the first cause is compromising preaching, our preachers. I'm amazed. I really am disturbed. God knows I love my fellow preachers. When I stand before the Lord, I will never have to give an account of ever mistreating one of God's preachers. Never, Brother Meadows. Not one time in all of my 62 years of preaching have I ever betrayed, or have I ever tried to undercut, or have I ever tried to destroy a preacher. But I am simply amazed today when I see some of our greatest churches and some of our most powerful preachers compromising and afraid to stand up and condemn sin that they find in their church. I would die before I'd have a deacon on my board that drank beer, wine, or liquor. I would die before I would ordain a woman to the gospel ministry or to a deaconship. I believe that those two offices are reserved for men. I believe that. There are many positions in the church, and God knows what would any of us do if we didn't have the good women.
That's right.
I want to tell you, the Radio Bible Hour would be off the air in 2 months if every woman stopped giving to the Radio Bible Hour. We'd be off the air in 2 months. And God knows there's not a preacher in all of the world that respects womanhood any more than I do. But ladies, God gave you the honor of being able to produce in your body another human being. And there isn't a man on the face of God's earth that can ever do that. So, if you are exempted and excluded from two of the offices of the church, then I tell you, God hasn't mistreated you, and he hasn't put the man before the woman, but God says that my preachers shall be men, and the deacons in his church shall be men.
Yeah.
And I die before I ordain one. I participate in the ordination of a woman to the gospel ministry or a woman to a deaconship. But all over the Southern Baptist Convention, it's happening
right
with some of the men that I thought would stand for God regardless. Compromised preaching. Many of our preachers have lost their faith in the power of the gospel. They're bringing in power teams that are charismatic. And they're having some of the greatest crowds that you could ever imagine. And hundreds are joining the church, are making a profession of faith. But I want to tell you, the way that you drag them in is the way you've got to keep doing if you're going to keep on. And I mean, as sure as I'm standing on this platform, we need to get back to uncompromising preaching. And the condition of Sodom that we see today, I'm going to lay squarely at the feet, brother, of compromising, pussyfooting, whitewashing, backscratching, ear-tickling, salt-soaping preachers. Number two, I believe that not only compromising preachers, but I believe that we have compromised public opinion. And preacher, it is amazing today to find so many people out there in the world that have absolutely no real conviction about anything. As I said a moment ago, I believe that every man, woman, boy, and girl that voted for abortion. I believe that. And the blood of every little baby that's going to be killed during their administration is going to be required not only at their hands, but at your hand. Now, unless you repent, I mean in sackcloth and in ashes, I believe that you're going to go to hell. I don't believe that you can actually get on your knees and pray and say, God, let me vote for a man that's an abortionist. I do not believe it. And yet, I tell you, we have got such opinions and lack of conviction in our opinions, in public opinions, until we'll just vote for anything, let anything go, let anything pass, and we don't raise our voice. When I think about how few people today really believe that a man or a woman that has not been by the way of the cross is lost, I tell you, it frightens me.
Yeah.
One of the most powerful preachers on television today, one of the most powerful men that can preach, I mean, he preaches like a house of fire. And that preacher says that a Jew does not have to come by the way of the cross. He does not have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood. And yet I tell you, my friends, the Bible says that no man cometh unto the Father but by him.
Amen.
So we see then that we have a compromised public opinion. Our preachers, brother, have compromised. And then I tell you, we have compromised politics. Our political leaders have led the way in sinful living. No longer can I point to the White House as the first family and say, model your family after that family. We have compromised, or we would have never had the overthrowing of the 18th Amendment and brought liquor back to this country. We compromised in 1933 when we sent Ambassador Bullock to Russia and recognized godless Russia. We have compromised in our conviction. Today, I tell you, we have legalized gambling. When I stop to think about all of the casinos, when I stop to think about all of the horse racing and all of the dog racing, when I think about all of the lotteries that are in many of our states today and how many of the other states are seeking to do it, I say, oh God, we have compromised in our political stand, and as a result of it, we have brought about a condition like Sodom and Gomorrah. So, the compromising preachers, the compromising public opinion, the compromising public, politics, all of this has brought about this condition. And then there are the compromising parents. And I wish I could stay right here for about an hour. I never have known a time when parents have as little authority in their house as they have today. By the time a little boy or a little girl, brother, is 4 years old, they become the dictators of their household. And they'll stand right up and say, I'll not do it. I was in a home Brother Meadows. And they had the meanest little boy I believe I've ever met in all of my life. I mean, he was meant to be Dennis the Menace and meant to be Triplets, and they forgot to split him. I mean, he was triple mean in every area at all. And I bet you his mother said, before we had lunch, if you don't stop that, Willie, I'm going to whip you. And she never touched him. We went to the table, Brother Earl, and they asked me to ask a blessing. And I bowed my head and I just said, dear Lord, I want to thank you. And about that time, something hit me right there in the head. I thought Father, part of the plaster had fallen off the wall. And he picked up a biscuit and threw that biscuit. That's the shortest blessing I ever asked. And that mother started crying. She said, oh, Brother Smith, I want you to pray for little Willie. I can't do a thing in the world with him. And I thought if you'd turn him over to me for about 5 minutes, I'll guarantee you I'd do something with him.
Yeah. Amen.
It was less than a month. I went to another home. And the lady, they had no children, but they had a little French poodle. One of the most beautiful little poodles I've ever seen in my life. And we went into that lovely dining room for that meal. And she said, Preacher Smith, you sit here. My husband will sit here. I'll sit here. And then she said, Fifi, come and get on your stool. And the little dog came running and jumped right up on that stool. And I'll never forget it. He sat right up there on his hind legs, folded his little old paws. And I bowed my head waiting for her to ask me or her husband or somebody to start the blessing. And to my amazement, she said, and Fifi will ask the blessing. Well, I'd already bowed my head, Brother Earl. And I said, Lord, I never have seen a dog ask a blessing. And excuse me, Lord, I want my eyes and look at him. He's sitting over there on that little stool. And brother, I tell you, he had those little hands up, and I know he's a Pentecostal dog, because brother, a Baptist dog wouldn't have barked like that. Oh, I tell you, he just went into a fit. And when he finished, that was one of the best meals I ever ate in all of my life. I've been looking for me a pool to ask the blessing over my meals, but I haven't found one. But I thought, I just couldn't help but think, back there about little Willie, and here's Fifi. That little dog, brother, I tell you, sat right up there, and she had thrown a piece of meat. Catch it. As soon as she got it down his throat, he'd say, thank you. Don't let me say, thank you. And I couldn't help but think about Willie. And I couldn't help but think if a woman could change and train a little French poodle to do what that little poodle did. And then that other mother, brother, actually couldn't train her little boy to behave 5 minutes, brother, while we're having the blessing. I want to tell you something's wrong.
Yeah.
Somewhere, something's wrong. At our church, at the First Baptist Church at Fort Smith, we had a nursery. And you could only keep your little baby in that nursery until they were 3 years old. The day that they reached their fourth birthday, we didn't have any junior church, no children's church. Brother, they came to the mid-church, and they behaved. I remember one Sunday morning sitting down here in front, we were on television, on radio, sitting right down in front of about 8 or 10 seats was a man and his wife, and they had a cute little boy. I tell you, he'd come by my office every morning, knock on the door and say, Preacher? I'd say, yes, sir. I want a piece of candy. And I'd come in, I'd give him some candy. He loved me. And this is the first time little Jimmy had ever been brought into big church. And I saw him, Preacher, 2 or 3 times. He got down off the bench. He'd get back up. His dad speak to him. Then he'd get back down. I saw his dad speak to him about 3 times. On about the 4th time, his dad just picked him up. I was preaching on television and radio. Picked him up, put him on his shoulder. And when he turned, little Jimmy was looking right straight up at me. And he said, Preacher, help me, preacher. Help me, preacher. He knew what he was going to get when he got on the outside of that church. But the next Sunday, brother, when they came to the house of God, little Jimmy sat on that pew like everybody else. And I want to tell you tonight, we are failing to train our children and to raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And as a result of it, many of our parents drink and dance and curse and live, I tell you, in hell right before their little children. And then expect their children to grow up and not break their hearts.
Right.
But if you've got a bar in your house and you serve liquor to your friends, you can expect your children to grow up and become drunkards. And your daughters, if you allow dancing in your house, your daughters to become prostitutes. We need to train our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And so I believe with all of my heart that one of these things that I've mentioned is the cause of our terrible condition in America. Now, let us notice the curse. First, there is a moral curse. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie." When I was studying that today, I thought for the first time, that's exactly what's happening. Turning the truth of God into a lie. Preacher, the most terrible judgment in the Bible spoken about any man or woman that commits a sin is against homosexuality and lesbianism. And we have changed the truth of God that condemns that into condoning it and commending it as a true style of life. And it's a lie.
Right.
And God says that this group of people was set to satisfying themselves by lust and the lust of the flesh. And God says that they will never meet, never satisfy. Many today are sealed in the jar of lust. And great multitudes of ours today are shut up in the cathedral of sin of adultery. Not only do we have the moral curse that is upon us, but the physical curse. The Bible declaring in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yeah.
For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Never have sinners paid such a price for their moral corruption and for their physical sin like they are paid tonight. It would surprise us if we knew how many people in Spartanburg County have a venereal disease. It would surprise us tonight if we knew how many young people under 20 years of age will soon die with AIDS. It's amazing to me how that these young people are not afraid. I speak to lots of them and they have different opportunity to ask me questions and to know how they are being brought up and taught in many of our schools today that they're to use this condom and how that they're prepared for it and how they're to carry it with them at all times is amazing to me. So we find that the physical terrible curse that's upon us tonight is the worst curse that has ever been. Never in the history of mankind have there been social diseases like herpes, like AIDS. If I had to make a choice tonight between leprosy and AIDS, it wouldn't take me 5 seconds to make the choice. I'd choose leprosy. I've been, perhaps Brother Manners, you've been in those leper colonies where the bodies are rotting off and joint after joint falls off and they are pitiful to behold. But I want to tell you, a few months ago, a man came down to my, came down the altar. I don't think that I've ever seen a physical condition on a human being like I saw on that man. And He gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and stood up and said, I just came from the doctor's office yesterday, and he's given me just 3 more months to live. Folk, I'm dying with AIDS. One of my engineers at the Radio Bible Hour, his wife teaches, said, Preacher, I want to tell you something. And she told me one of the saddest stories I've ever heard. She said, 3 of my girls, along with one young lady from the University of Kentucky, went down to Daytona Beach on the spring break. And this young lady that went down with them married a young man the first day they were there and moved out of the apartment where these other 3 girls were and moved into the apartment with this young man. And for 5 days, she lived with that young man there in Daytona Beach in his room. When they started to come home, he gave her a beautiful little package, beautifully wrapped, and said, I want to give you this in remembrance of these 5 days that we've had together. But I don't want you to unwrap it, but when you get back to the University of Kentucky, and when you get back to the university, I want you to call all of the girls on your floor into your room and show them what I have given you. And she did. And she unwrapped that beautiful package. And when she got it unwrapped, it was a little miniature casket. And inside that little casket was a dead rose and a note that said, Congratulations, join the club of the AIDS dying members. That young lady had a nervous breakdown. She's dead. That was 3 years ago. She's already dead. What a price for 5 days of pleasure, so-called. And I want to tell you tonight, whether you believe it or not, if you ever get AIDS, you'll find out that it wasn't worth, right. It wasn't worth that night of sin or that moment of pleasure that you were thought you were having. So the physical curse that is upon us tonight is the alarming thing. And many of these social diseases will not only put you in your grave, but before you go to your grave, will put you in an insane asylum. And then there is not only the moral curse and the physical curse, but there is the religious curse. When I stop to think about how that the Bible declares how Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. What I realize that John the Baptist, Jesus said the greatest and not a greater among men, was John the Baptist.
Right.
And when I see him standing up before Herod and Herodias preaching, and he preached and called names, and he said, Herod, it is unlawful for you to have Herodias. Herodias is your brother Philip's wife, and you're living in adultery by having this woman and living with this woman. And what a shock. And the Bible declares that Herodias plotted and planned the death of John the Baptist. I firmly believe with all of my heart and with all of my soul that today a preacher that stands in the pulpit and preaches against sin and exposes it like he ought to will have many, many enemies. And I'm not so sure but what it will be against the law to preach like I've preached tonight. And I'm certainly assured that they'll not be able to preach on the radio against liquor, against homosexuality, against lesbianism, against any of those terrible sins wrecking our nation. So politically and socially and religiously, these sins have brought about the curse that's upon our nation tonight. When John the Baptist would not compromise, he lost his head, but God kept his heart. When I think about all of that, I see not only the moral curse, the physical curse, the religious curse, but there's a natural curse. The Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalted the nation.
Yeah.
But sin is a reproach to any people. What a tragedy. There was a time when the blessings of God were upon America.
Yeah.
But do you wonder now why God sends the Hugos and the Andrews? Do you wonder now why God sends the floods down the Mississippi River? Do you understand now why God sends the tornadoes and the hurricanes? Do you understand why God sends in some places droughts and how he sends blizzards in other places? Do you understand, Brother Anthony, why all of the patterns of our weather are so different and so changed? Do you understand? God's hand has been stretched out against the modern Sodom. And we are under the judgment of God. If you look in the Bible, you'll find that God brings judgment upon nations as well as upon individuals.
Right.
Greece, Rome, France, Germany. Who would have believed 5 years ago what we have seen in Russia? I have never believed, I still do not believe, that communism is dead in Russia. And I would not be surprised if they're not trying to hoodwink us and pull the wool over our eyes. In the manifesto of the Communist Party, they say there will come a time when we will pretend that we are giving up all of our armament, when we'll lay down as if we are ready to die, and all of these silly and foolish nations that will follow us, then we'll suddenly rise up and destroy them. I know and you know that Russia is not going to be destroyed by the United Nations. Now there's countries round about them, but when they march down into Palestine, God's judgment will fall upon them. But God brings nations and raises nations, and God cuts them down.
Right.
Then only do we see the moral curse, the physical curse, and the religious curse, and the natural curse, but there is the eternal curse, where the Lord says that all of these that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That means they shall be eternally doomed in the lake of fire. That is the sad tragedy of this day. What's wrong in Spartanburg? What's wrong in Greenville? What's wrong in South Carolina? What's wrong in these beloved 50 states of the Union? What's wrong all over the world? We have forsaken the Lord. We have turned our back upon him, and we have turned into the channels of sin and iniquity. Now, in closing, what is the cure? I believe the first requirement is reflection. We need reflect. We need to review, like the prodigal son, our condition. It was when the prodigal son realized he was down among hog herders, and that hog herders were paying his salary, and that hog herders were his employer, and that he was associating with the hogs. When he began to reflect upon that, saw his condition, that's when the Bible says he repented and said, I will go back to my father. So I believe that the first thing in the cure of this solemn condition that we have in the world is reflection. Let us see where we are.
Amen.
Let us see what we need. Let us reflect, Brother Anthony, on the way back. Let us think about what's going to happen if we do not repent. And I believe the second thing is repentance. So few people today know what it is to repent. The Lord said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Amen.
Now, what do you mean by repentance? I believe when a man really repents, he turns around.
Yes, he does.
Goes in a different direction. I believe when a man repents, Brother, God changes not only his heart, but his mind. I believe God changes his ambitions. God changes his affections. And God changes all of that that made him what he was before he met the Lord, makes him a new creature in Christ.
Yes.
Repentance. And then the third thing that goes into this cure is the involvement of resting in Jesus. reflection, repentance, and resting in Jesus. My case is with the Lord. I love that old song. It goes something like this. The soul that upon Jesus doth lean for repose, I will never, no, never desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell shall endure unto shake, I will never, no, never forsake. I believe that what we need to do tonight is to come forward and lean upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ and rest our case with Him as never before.
Yes.
And whether we are able to turn one single soul away from their destruction, and whether the people will sleep on in their beds and not listen and mock when we preach and mourn like when Lot went through the streets of Sodom and said to his own in-laws, get up, come on, get out. God's going to destroy this city tomorrow. And they mocked him. Whether they listen to us preach, whether they will mock us and not hear, is not my responsibility. My responsibility is just to preach. And if I preach and warn, their blood will not be upon my hand when the fire from heaven begins to fall upon this nation and all the nations of the earth. Will you die in Sodom or in the Savior? Are you living under the cloud of God's wrath? I wonder tonight if there's anybody in this house that is living outside of Jesus Christ. If you are, you are one of the Sodomites. You're living in a doomed city. You're living in a doomed nation. As sure as I'm saying on this platform, God is about to pour out His wrath and His judgment upon the whole world. And the only safe place, the only ark, is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing.
Amen.
But the blood. So the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope in this modern Sodom in which we're living. May we pray.
If you would like to know more about this work, go to the web address on your screen. This is Don Smith, and again, I want to thank you for watching this video today, and may the Lord bless you in every area of your life.